Hey everyone, it's me, Chase. Just wanted to let you know before we get into the podcast today that this is a copy of the original. The original podcast is Esports Careers Podcast by Drew Proctor. So if you want to go check him out, he's a great guy. I loved being on the podcast. But anyways, thanks for stopping by and talk later.
Esports is only there right now for people who are proactive. It's way too young of an industry for anyone who is just sitting there waiting to get handed a job. You know, you have to be proactive. You have to be making connections, reaching out to people, trying to get their thoughts.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Esports Careers Podcast. Today, I'm sitting here with Chase Summer, the Esports Coordinator at Wake Tech. Chase, how are you doing today?
I am amazing. Thanks for having me. You know, this is really fun to just talk with other people about esports. So I'm really glad to be here. And thanks. Yeah, thank you for your time.
Yeah, of course. It's really always great to talk about esports, especially in a professional sense, but I like it even better when I can talk to somebody who's from or in North Carolina about esports, because that's where I'm from. And so I like to kind of dive a little bit deeper into hometown esports and talk about that. And so if you don't mind, could you just give me and kind of the listeners a brief overview of, you know, who you are, where you're from, and what you do?
Yeah, of course. So like a lot of people listening to this, I am a gamer, right? I've been gaming my whole life. Got Pokemon, RuneScape, World of Warcraft, and then now just general esports for work. But yeah, I'm a gamer. I'm a total nerd. My wife will tell you that. I went to school at the University of Iowa, and there I did esports at Iowa, which is an esports organization, student organization, only students, right? And then I was president there, and then we moved here to Raleigh, where I'm now serving as the esports coordinator slash coach slash everything for, you know, Wake Tech Community College in Raleigh, North Carolina. And yeah, so I mean, we can, I essentially, you know, do esports. That's my background, mostly in collegiate. And so, but you know, one day I'd like to get into pro, but you know, we could talk about that later.
That kind of covers the generals. Are you from Iowa?
Yeah, so I am from the Chicagoland area, the west suburbs, Geneva, Illinois. Went to school in Iowa because if you're from Illinois, you know it's dang expensive. And Iowa is, you know, fourth of the cost. So a lot of people from Illinois go to school in Iowa.
You're from Chicago. You go over to school in Iowa. Kind of how did you end up in Raleigh?
Yeah, so great question. My first job out of school was with the IRS. So I still work with the IRS. That's my day job. And we'll get into day jobs, night jobs later. But esports is a night job for me. It's a grind. So I work remotely for the IRS. And I was living in DC with my wife, Maddie. But, you know, there's a trend here. DC is really freaking expensive. So we were like, hey, COVID hit. We're like, let's just work remote somewhere not expensive and maybe a little bit nicer. And so we ended up at Raleigh, in Raleigh, North Carolina. And it's amazing here. There's tons of tech companies. It's growing. You're close to the mountains, close to the ocean. You know, it's good food, good culture. It ticks all of our boxes. So we moved down here, and my involvement with Wake Tech was, you know, everywhere I move, I try to figure out where there's esports. And I just Googled Raleigh esports. Wake Tech came up, right? And I saw this really cool computer setup. They have a Lenovo Legions, which are some really, you know, high-end computers. It's like, wow, they have an esports thing and they have computers, which they didn't have at University of Iowa, by the way. And you know, like, it's, I was like, wow. So I messaged the athletic director and I said, hey, can I volunteer? And he said, no. And I was like, oh, that sucks. But he's like, but we can hire you on a stipend. I was like, oh, that's amazing. So, you know, the rest is history. I've been building it up. We started in December of 2020. It's, you know, at the date of this, you know, it's June 6th, 2021 now. So, or 26th, but so we've been doing it for about 6 months. But yeah, I'm at Wake Tech Community College in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Did the thought of Raleigh come first, or did the thought of like esports come first? Because it sounds like you guys were like kind of thinking around places to head to, and you were like, Raleigh seems like a great place. And then did you get here and then start making moves towards trying to find something in esports, or was it kind of esports first, place second? Like, what was your thought process?
That's a great question. So Raleigh came first. We wanted to find a place to live and settle down, my wife and I. And, you know, that definitely came first. Once we decided Raleigh, as soon as we decided Raleigh and that we were for sure moving there, and we were looking at apartments, I'm scanning for esports. So it's the very next thing, right? And so even I got the job even before we moved here. And so this is kind of a theme with esports. From my perspective, is you gotta make sure you're doing your life first, right? You gotta make sure your family, you know, whatever, all that's good, and then you can start doing esports. You know, I still have a full-time job. And for all those listening, you know, it's really hard to get a full-time esports job. You gotta have a full-time job and then do a night esports job for a lot of people. And you gotta do that for a long time. It's not maybe the answer you want to hear, but that's the reality of it. It's your dream job is going to be a nighttime / weekend hustle while on top of it working full time to support yourself. So, you know, I just wanted to put that out there for maybe, you know, some motivation, or just, you know, you're not alone in thinking that you're working super hard and not seeing results. It takes a long time, maybe, you know, a year, year and a half, 2 years. Of grinding. So, but yeah, Raleigh came first. You know, I wanted to make sure our life was good. We had a good city, all of that. And then after that is esports. So.
And so I'd like to take it back a little bit to your time at Iowa. Tell me a little bit more about your role as, you know, president of the esports club at Iowa, and kind of what that led you to, what you learned along the way, and what were kind of the pros and cons of that program that you learned?
Yeah, so esports at Iowa. So just even notice the name, esports at Iowa. It wasn't Hawkeye Esports. We couldn't use the name Hawkeye Esports, right? Because it's not officially sponsored by the school or the athletic program. It's a club. And I just want to make that distinction. But it was a student organization. I was the president, right? So I joined it. And, you know, after realizing like, hey, I kind of want to work in gaming. I want to work in gaming somehow. I wasn't studying game development. I was studying business analytics. So I was like, what's my angle to get in to the gaming, you know, industry? I don't have any experience. So how do I do it? And so I just looked up esports in Iowa City, and esports at Iowa came up. And I was like, okay, I'll join. I joined, and, you know, I think everyone was doing just fine managing the club, but I had a lot of ideas for improvement, and I had some drive, and I had, you know, I put those plans into action, and I got people talking. And within maybe a month of joining, they just asked me to be president. And so I took that role. I served for a semester, you know, and so it was essentially, just to kind of give you an understanding, maybe there was about 50 gamers in the Discord, right? They had a couple teams. Everyone was kind of doing their own thing. It was kind of disjointed, and, you know, and what I really did was, when you're building an organization, you got to pick leaders. And you got to give them authority, and you have to say, this is your job, this is what you do, and you have the authority to make those decisions, and let them make those decisions. And so what I was really doing was just picking out the people who looked like leaders and saying, hey, you have some ideas, you have a vision, you are now, you know, the team captain for this, or the team captain for this. And then you basically, once you have some leaders, now you start having leadership meetings, right? And so it's just organizing all the leaders and getting them, everyone thinking. And a lot of it's just scheduling things and just organizing events. Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was never good at video games. I've never been good. I was never an esport player. But I am good at organizing people. And I wanted to use my strength and something that I'm passionate about. I'm so passionate about gaming, just not good. And so I used my skill in organizing people and my passion for esports or gaming to help build this organization.
It sounds like you kind of came in and provided the club and organization with some well-needed structure. And that was kind of what was going through my head when you were saying that.
And that's exactly correct, right? If I could just go back and answer that question with one sentence, it was, I provided structure, right? Collegiate esports desperately needs structure. High school esports barely exists, but it will need structure. Middle school esports will need structure. And that's what a lot of all this is raising standards, creating structure, and motivating people and giving them authority and say, hey, you have good ideas. Why aren't you doing them? Right? Like, just do it. I'll support you. I'll bring in people to make those dreams come true. And that's what I was doing at the University of Iowa, and we grew. It was amazing. And even now in collegiate, like now that I have an actual position, all I'm doing is providing structure, right? Esports is still new. It really is, right? It's been around for a while, but it's still new. And people, yeah. So I'm kind of digressing, but yeah, just providing structure was, you know, a core theme.
And so you kind of helped take esports at Iowa, you know, up a notch from where it was. But, you know, throughout your time there, did you really ever like see the support from the school that you were looking for, or what was kind of that relationship like?
Good question. Good question. No, right. We were working on it. Everyone was still playing from their room, right? There was no esports room. I lectured at a sports management class on esports. So I got kind of support every once in a while from someone that saw the potential. There were a couple of deans that saw potential and gave me their time. I spent a lot of time giving presentations to faculty and trying to convince them of the value and kind of saying, like, hey, you got like 100 people that want to practice and support your school. And like, we feel like this would greatly benefit not just us, but Iowa. And it didn't go anywhere, right? And that's fine. It gave me, you know, perseverance. They helped build that in me. It was still hard because hearing no over and over and over and over and over again, you kind of think you're crazy. You know, I believe that maybe one day they are going to do it. They just might be behind the pack. I mean, and just to contrast that, Wake Tech Community College in Raleigh, North Carolina, already had 14 high-end computers by the time I get here. Didn't even have Discord. So the amount of support here is incredible. But yeah, going back to Wake Tech or University of Iowa, it's something that I also learned was burnout, right? Like at the end of it, I had to step down because I was a full-time student. I was working a job to support myself and I was doing this, right? And so learning to pace myself was something big and kind of, you know, realizing like, I'm not going to be able to make these massive institutional changes, you know, in this like short burst. I've got to, you know, take a longer, you know, approach to this and build it slow and slow and slow. So those are some things that I picked up at University of Iowa. I am grateful for the experience. I had all the students, all my fellow students, you know, they were so supportive. They, you know, they told me I was doing a good job. And I learned that like, hey, wait, I am good at this. And so a recommendation, if you're at a university or a college or a high school, I would recommend just getting involved and see you know, you might figure out some skills that you have, like organizing people for me, or maybe something else like social media or design or whatever. Just go get involved, because that experience is what gave me the job I have now, right? If I didn't go out there and like do these things, put extra work in, you know, beyond the full-time student and the job, like I wouldn't have the position now. And so it planted those seeds of like, you know, which when I explained to my athletic director now, like, hey, I was president of this. That's what got me this job now. So it may not, you may not get a full-time job, you know, right, as soon as you start, but you can use that experience later on to get you something better. So, yeah.
So you said that you guys have started Wake Tech Esports essentially, I think, December 2020, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how has that kind of process looked? Because, you know, that is a pretty quick turnover. You said before you even got there, they already had a kind of an esports arena set up with 14 computers. But what has building up Wake Tech Esports looked like? What has that experience been? And what have been kind of the ups and downs of that over the past, I guess, 7 months?
Yeah, great question. So it was all done remote, right? This whole entire season was remote, except at the end, very end. But it was all remote. And so they had these 14 computers. We didn't get to use them. We didn't get to use them at all, except at the end, which sucks. But yeah, when I went to go visit, I was like, oh yeah, like this is cool. Like they had like a massive, you know, we got a big eagle on the wall that glows, all the computers glow, you know, it's nice. It's really nice. Yeah. The players didn't get to see it to the end, but so the process of building Wake Tech, well, it starts with Discord, right? You know, they didn't have a Discord. The athletic director didn't know what Discord was, right? Or maybe he did, he's heard of it, but he doesn't know how to use it. And that's what you got to realize. That's one point I want to point out to everyone that's in school right now, trying to get an esports thing going. Or even if you're not in school and you're trying to get an esports thing going, a lot of people just don't know all of the things that you may think are simple, like building a Discord server, right? That is highly valuable to an athletic director. You just got to, and social media management, TikToks, Twitch, right? All these things that may seem really obvious to all of us gamers isn't obvious to anyone else, okay? And so if you can develop those skills, practice building a massive Discord server, practice doing some streaming, even though you're not going to be a streamer, just practice. And then you can bring those skills and say, hey, I can do this and this for the organization or whatever. So that's what I was doing. I was like, oh, you don't have a Discord? Like, yeah, we don't even know what to do. I'm like, well, you need a Discord. That's where the community lives, at least online. And so I built that up. And then we basically spammed the school email with that we're starting this program. We held tryouts. Like I said earlier, I'm not good at video games. So trying to field a Fortnite team, an Overwatch team, and a Rocket League team is hilarious because I'm not good, right? So I was like, okay. How do I do this? What I did was I picked the best people based off of their matchmaking rating, and I asked them, hey, will you be team captain? Did you notice a trend here? University of Iowa, at Esports of Iowa, I had no idea how to lead these teams, but I identified the leaders and people who were skilled in their craft, and I gave them authority. And I said, you are now captain. You are now leader. So I did the same thing at Wake Tech. I identified the best people, and I said, you are going to create these teams. Right? You're going to help me through tryouts. I'm going to be the face of the organization, but you're going to be the hands that really make it. You're going to decide. And so I had team captains for each game decide their team. After that, we were a part of the NJCAAE, which is a very, you know, mouthful, but it's a two-year esports institution. They're doing great work. You know, it's not as organized as I'd like to be sometimes with certain games, but overall it's a very good organization and I like it. So a lot of my job was learning the rules. I didn't know any of the rules. I got thrown into this willingly, of course, but I got thrown into this. And so I was just doing things. And then I get these messages. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. I was like, what the heck? So, and that's fine. That's okay. Right. When you're building an organization like this and you're not familiar with all these rules, it's okay. When people say you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. It's just, you don't need to know everything to do this.
And I'm sure they run into that on a very consistent basis because I'm sure there's a lot of esports coordinators for universities and junior colleges who have absolutely no clue how to even launch a game. So I'm sure they run into that so often.
Exactly. And that's, again, another theme is, I know you may not think that you are good enough to do it, but trust me, you are. You're already good enough, right? You just have to go there and kind of understand that no one knows anything about these gamer things. And so if you're willing to be told you're wrong or like learn all these rules and mess up a lot, you can get a volunteer position, a stipend position, an internship position, or even a full-time position at these colleges, right? You got to take that leap, right? And so that's what I was doing. I was, you know, building this organization, not knowing many things, just knowing that I'm just going to rely on my leaders and I'm going to give them authority. I'm going to trust them. And I'm just going to keep, going head first into everything. Basically building the Discord and then learning the league rules was most of it, right? And then getting the teams, setting up a schedule for when they're practicing. And then once everyone gets used to their schedule, it's kind of a self-driving car, right? It kind of just goes. You know, we had some amazing leaders. And we actually won the Overwatch Championship in our first season. And that was amazing, right? And so that's where you can go if you give trust and authority to your leaders. So, but yeah, that was kind of my experience at Wake Tech. Everyone at Wake Tech is very on board with esports. They see it as the future. They may not understand how to get there, but they do understand its value, and I really want to commend them on that. That's kind of Wake Tech Esports. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about that?
Yeah, so it sounds like kind of your biggest, up with the program was winning the Overwatch Championship. But what has kind of been your biggest difficulty in this role, and if you've ever overcome that difficulty, what did that process look like?
Yeah, two things come to mind. One, guys, I'm still part-time. I work a full-time job, and I do this part-time after work. So after working 9 hours at my day job, I come and work esports at night and then on the weekend. So I'm still in that phase of I'm grinding, right? I want that full-time job. I want to work full-time in esports, but I'm still grinding. So that has been a really hard thing. I'm doing my best to not burn out, right? We learned that at University of Iowa. You can't burn out because otherwise you're done. So you gotta learn to pace yourself. I have an incredible support system. My wife, Maddie, she's the best. She supports me in everything, wants me to achieve my dreams. The burnout aspect and working only part-time on top of your full-time job. And on that note, esports isn't a part-time job. It is multiple full-time jobs. So trying to do multiple full-time jobs within a part-time time slot is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And so just because it's quote-unquote part-time, it's still full-time. It's like working two full-time jobs. I promise you, it's nuts. But another downside is there isn't standards yet, or the standards are really low, okay? And what I mean by this, and this isn't, I'm not blaming anyone, right? But this is where it's at. During the season, the amount of people that just didn't show up to games or just forfeited just cause was like at 50% for some of our games. So that and that's nuts. Like imagine that with any other sport. Yeah, we're just not coming. Why did you tell me that 5 minutes before the game? Right? Like 5 minutes before the game, what are you talking about? And it's really hard because what people need to realize is the main thing about esports is you also need Twitch. You need Twitch because it's online native. How else are people going to watch your game? It's not where baseball, where you have a field, right? And currently, teams are not traveling to face each other. Like, that will be in the future. But currently, it's just Twitch. And one thing about Twitch is that you need to have a consistent schedule. Everyone that streams knows you need a consistent schedule. So if you're just, if you get parents coming, everyone signing in to watch your game and to support you, and then half the time it's canceled, like, you're not going to build a following. It's going to be like this weird, like, so that's been a challenge as well, is the low standards. We're, you know, again, I'm optimistic. They're slowly rising, right? They're going to be enforcing, you know, a one forfeit rule, and then the second forfeit next season, you're out of the league, right? So those standards are coming up, but you have to understand that you have to be able to, you have to be able to understand that where it's at now is not right, and be able to help implement and raise those standards. You have to understand, like, hey, this isn't good. I'm going to speak up and say this isn't right. And if the league isn't going to do anything, you need to hold your players accountable. And, you know, so, yeah, burning out and low standards are two of the hardships of collegiate esports right now.
I can just, like, it's literally unfathomable, you know, like, the parallel, like, a traditional sport having that same scenario, you know, where it's like, you know, like, let's say, like, a football team has a game, and all the fans show up and they're in the stand, you know, 5 minutes before, you know, kickoff or whatever. And the other team's just like, eh, we didn't feel like coming. We didn't feel like coming to the game today. Like, that is just an unfathomable situation for traditional sports.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's so, like, it's like this frustration in my soul where I'm like, are you guys nuts? Like, how are we not dealing with this right now? And I will be honest, anyone that's in the NJCAA Discord has probably seen me freak out. I apologize. Not professional, but I freaked out a couple of times because I was super pissed. Super pissed. It's just coming from the passion of, like, guys, what are you doing? But yeah, that is exactly what is happening. But, you know, again, 5 years from now, that won't be the case. Or at least at a very, very small scale. When all the four-year colleges start to get into it, you know, so certain bills are being proposed in New York and North Carolina to, you know, give certain schools a few million dollars to build esports things, which we'll get to later. But there will be standards. There will be big money in it, and new standards will be held eventually. We're just at, you know, a release, you know, growth stage. And it's kind of funny because we're going to look back when we're older and we're going to laugh, right? But right now it's still frustrating, I promise you.
But yeah, no, that sounds like some great experience to kind of pass down, you know, the ups and downs. I think they kind of all, you know, help build out your experience, you know, like, you know, you can't have, you know, just an insanely successful program and have no downs with it. You know, like, you have to experience some hardships to really learn from something. And it sounds like you've learned a lot at Wake Tech Esports so far. With that being said, kind of, where do you see Wake Tech Esports going, and how do you plan on growing that program?
Like, we're still establishing the program. We're hiring 4 coaches this season, so I won't have to worry about coaching. And we're, you know, just some, like, let's say the next year, hire coaches, get the stream in a more professional state, beef up the social media presence, start recruiting, start handing out scholarships, start getting involved in the community with volunteering, building out more esports rooms on different campuses. If you're next to the RTP campus, we'll be building a new one. Those are some things in the next year. Next 5 years, right? I see Wake Tech Esports becoming its own organization within the school, And what I mean by that is there's sports, right? Athletics, normal athletics, your stick and ball sports. I see Wake Tech Esports growing into, you know, its own thing where there's an athletic director and then there's an esports director, right? And so they're kind of side by side, not esports underneath traditional sports, if that makes sense. And I see, you know, building an actual quote unquote arena. And what I mean by that is a space where a few hundred people could come to watch their team play. And that means also other schools competing. You know, what I want to do for all you NC State, UNC, Duke, I want to start getting some local rivalries going on where we all come in person to compete. And that's where those things would happen in these, you know, the computers are facing each other. There's a big screen and we're competing. So that's what I really want to get going in the next 5 years, building something like that. And being like a thought leader in the space, you know, really establishing, you know, knowing that the standards are way too low and living up to high standards for everyone else so they can model us is something where I want to get Wake Tech Esports. Holding large events like massive LAN parties, right? These crazy things like massive, you know, career fairs, or, you know, we, you know, do anything where all the gamers come to Wake Tech in our massive and brand new Wake Tech gymnasium at North Campus. And we all have this, you know, crazy event. Maybe in 10 years we'll be packing stadiums or something, but I don't know. But yeah, that's kind of where we're going. Oh, also academic programs, you know, maybe a certificate to go inside of a sports management degree, or training people on how to actually practically run tournaments. So come train them. Maybe there'd be a class or a 10-week class where you come to every tournament and you help set up, tear down. We teach all those things. So getting some of that. But yeah, that's kind of my vision for Wake Tech Esports. I think they have a lot of support and a lot of potential. And I think it'll be fun to compete against the neighboring schools. So
this is something that completely just went over my head. I completely forgot to ask this earlier. But does Wake Tech offer any sort of scholarship for your guys' players on your esports teams?
Yeah, we are going to try. We didn't last semester. We are going to try this semester. I want to emphasize try. I think right now what it would look like if we did would be giving scholarships to the team captains because they have extra responsibilities. In the future, when we beef out the recruiting system, we will probably use it to recruit the top tier players in the area. Yes, I want to. It's yes. It'll change a little bit on how we do it, and the dollar amounts. You know, don't expect much. It's, you know, maybe a few hundred dollars. But for a community college, that's a decent impact. And just the fact that we're showing that we appreciate your time and effort, and we value you by trying to give something is something that I think is really important. And I totally respect Wake Tech for even considering esports a varsity sport. We're varsity, right? We get jerseys, we have tryouts, we have practice, we have we do playoffs, championships. There is a higher standard at Wake Tech, and I really appreciate it. And although funding may not be there at the moment, like they want, like their eyes are on esports and they want to. They're just waiting for the right moment to really inject some funds in there and really develop it. So kudos to Wake Tech. Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, for a JUCO to offer any sort of scholarships to esports athletes when the program hasn't even been around for a year, I think kind of shows their dedication and, you know, what they see in the program. And so I think that's amazing that you guys already have the, you know, potential to be offering, you know, some sort of scholarship to some of your players.
Yeah, and that just kind of goes, you know, my philosophy on esports is like it's legit. Like, you I mean, it tends to be the older generations, and I know I love you guys, right? My parents are older, and right, but legitimizing esports, I think we already see it as this high-end, highly competitive thing at Wake Tech. It's not there yet around the country, but we see it as, you know, this is serious. We're gonna hold you to high standards. We're gonna force you to come to practice when you're not feeling it. You got to push through those things, right? And so we see it as a very serious thing, and that's kind of our philosophy on it. This is serious. Like, we are building the next leaders in the industry. We're building the next leaders, even if they decide to go somewhere else. We're teaching them amazing things here for the workforce. So, you know, again, it's a great program. I have nothing but love for Wake Tech and Wake Tech Esports. The sky's the limit, you know. So
since you've been at, you know, you've been in Raleigh, when exactly did you move to Raleigh?
October 2020. So I've been here, what, like 8 months?
8 or 9 months,
nine
roughly.
Months? Yeah. So I'm relatively new, yeah.
So since you've been, you know, in Raleigh 8 or 9 months and at Wake Tech Esports for roughly 7 months, kind of what are your thoughts on North Carolina and mainly the Triangle area, you know, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, kind of becoming a hub for East Coast esports?
Yes. Okay. Guys, get ready. All right. So the Triangle area, which is the greater Raleigh area, is booming, right? We got tons of tech. We got Apple coming, right? There's some big, you know, Google's expanding here. We have a lot of big people coming in tech. We already have a ton of people in tech here. And so there you go. You got STEM. If you didn't know, esports has a lot of STEM people in it. So there's like that underlying ecosystem, right? But also, there's a lot of schools here, right? There's Wake Tech, NC State, UNC, Duke, William Peace. I know I'm forgetting others, but we also have Epic Games here. We have Ubisoft. We have a lot of independent ones, independent studios. You know, we held like Rainbow Six Siege Championship in 2019. We have a lot of committees that and just well-connected people that I've had the privilege of meeting that are planning on making Raleigh a hub for esports. To give you some example, you can look up House Bill 946 for North Carolina, and that's proposing, you know, incentives for esports tournaments in North Carolina, right? That's pretty forward-looking. And there's people trying to, you know, create massive events here and really develop it. And so, yes, I'm extremely biased, right? I am in esports in Raleigh, okay? But there's a ton of work going on in the background to make some events and culture ripe for esports here. Trust me. You know, do some research on the area, but look up Greylock, GRELOC. And so there's a lot going on. And so in the next 5 years, I see a lot of major events coming here. And just, I see all of, you know, not just collegiate, but high school, where there's EXP League or XP League, which is youth esports. But then also maybe some pro stuff. I don't know yet what that might look like, but I think the next step after building middle school, high school, collegiate esports is, okay, well, what about our professional team? Why doesn't Raleigh have a professional team? So we'll see. I think it'll be a massive hub. But again, I'm a little bit biased.
Yeah, I'm sitting on the same boat as you. I think, you know, Raleigh has just as much potential as any other major city, you know, throughout the country. If so, maybe even a little bit more. You know, we have, like you said, Epic Games, a lot of tech companies. But, you know, Raleigh also has, you know, a bit of a history with esports that, you know, a lot of people might not know. You know, we did have that Rainbow Six major And you know, back in the day, early 2010s, we used to have MLG Raleigh. And so, you know, esports isn't, you know, super unfamiliar with the area. And so I completely agree with you. So those are kind of, you know, your, we talked about your, you know, current work at Wake Tech in Iowa. But what do your long-term goals look like in esports? What do you see for yourself later down the road in esports? Do you want to stick with Wake Tech for a little bit, or what are your long-term goals?
Yeah, so the very end goal is owning a pro esports team. That's where I'm going. And, you know, maybe being a holding company for some other esports type of, you know, companies, but owning a pro esports team and being deeply involved in their organization and management, that's where I'm going. And everyone I talk to, they know that, right? Like, I'm not hiding my intentions. I'm very clear. And it's more of like, do you want to be a partner along the way on this journey? You know, I'm starting to record, you know, my esports journey on YouTube, just really raw cuts of my thoughts to just show you guys and bring you along. But to get there, coming back to where I am now, I will, as of now, continue with Wake Tech and building out their organization, right? I'm getting some amazing experience, absolutely amazing experience building out an organization, seeing it flourish. But I'm also documenting, right? I'm learning. I'm seeing what doesn't work, what does work. And I'm also creating high quality documents and relationships, right? And so what I'll do with that, or at least my plan, is to start doing a bit of consulting, right? Many others, you know, places around the country, colleges, high schools, they need help building these organizations. I can do that, right? So that's maybe a next step. We'll see. I think along the way to owning a pro esports team would be partnering with an esports company of some sort, working for them, consulting with them, and then maybe even managing a four-year institution esports organization. So yeah, just to clarify, from Wake Tech, continue at Wake Tech, start consulting. While consulting, start managing a four-year institution. And then from four-year institution, continue consulting until I'm in a place where I can own an esports team. That's where I'd like to go. And you know, it's not going to be easy, right? I'm not trying to pretend like I know everything. I know nothing compared to a lot of smart people in the area. But I'm going to simply just have some integrity and just push through, and I'm going to let people say I can't do it, right? And it's fine. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to outlast people, right? And I'm going to do it in a really high integrity way where people are, you know, they say, this is a good guy. This guy is solid. And they're not going to say I'm deceitful, because I'm telling everyone what I'm going to do before it, right? I'm not hiding it. I'm not trying to be deceitful. These are my goals. You want to partner along the way? That's great. You know, you and me, we're partnering. We're talking about it. You know, I'd like to support you in any way, right? So, and that's what I want to do. I want to build relationships to get there. I'm not in a rush.
Yeah. And I've just got one, kind of final question for you, Chase. And that would be, it sounds like you've had a lot of, you know, ups, downs in esports, and you've gone through a lot of experiences in the collegiate scene. And so with that experience, what would kind of be the biggest piece of advice you could give to anybody looking to potentially be in your shoes one day, you know, to be a esports coordinator at a college, or maybe even just be, you know, the president of their collegiate esports club? What kind of advice would you give to that person?
First part is esports is only there right now for people who are proactive. It's way too young of an industry for anyone who is just sitting there waiting to get handed a job. You know, you have to be proactive. You have to be making connections, reaching out to people, trying to get their thoughts. you know, if you haven't reached out to 2,000 people on LinkedIn, then, you know, I don't feel sorry for you. You gotta reach out. You gotta start connecting. Like, I'm talking thousands of people. Just talk. Go reach out. Make, you know, do something. Just see, like, what is it like? You gotta be proactive. Reach out to, you know, be proactive and reach out to any organizations in your area that you can volunteer. Be willing to do it for free. Like, I know some people say, like, you know, if they're not paying you, you shouldn't do it. I there's not enough money in esports right now to give everyone a paycheck. And that's a reality. So if that scares you and you're like, I don't want to waste my time, then you're not seeing that your experience will pay dividends later, because that's what it's happening for me. So being proactive, you're not going to get into anything without being proactive in esports right now. Trust me. The second thing is that it's going to take longer and be harder than you think. I am still working full-time job and then doing esports. And I've been doing this for a few years, right? So you have to understand that you have to have you're going to need a full-time job and then do esports after, or be a full-time student, you know, if you're, I don't know, but it's got to, and what that does is it shows you, like, are you actually passionate about this? You know, if you're not passionate, you're gonna be like, well, I don't know if I want to do it. That might be, you know, maybe, maybe that's not right for you then. Because right now, it's for those who are proactive, hard workers, and willing to look 5 years from now of where it might pay off. They're not looking like, hey, am I gonna get a job in a month? Maybe not. Maybe you do, right? But you're gonna be in the top 1%. So you need to be proactive and you need to grind. Watch some Gary Vee, okay? He'll help you out in understanding it. He calls it patience, long macro patience, right? You got to understand where you're at. You got to understand that you got to put in some sweat equity. You got to work hard, and then it'll start to pay off later. Yeah, I'm still going. Like, I'm tired. Trust me, I'm tired. But I know, looking back on my life, you know, when I'm old, I'm going to know it's worth it, because it's what I want to do. It's my dream, right? And I'll be so disappointed if I don't try to reach my dreams and I don't give it my all. Those are kind of some words of wisdom, if you can call it that I have for anyone who wants to get into esports.
Chase, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We mentioned your YouTube channel and everything, but where can people find you if they want to reach out, if they want to connect? Where can they do that at?
Yeah, so I am pretty active on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn/Chase Summer. I'm sure we'll put all the links in. And then Twitter, and then eFuse. Are you guys on eFuse? It's a gaming, it's like the LinkedIn of game for gamers. I'm on there too, but mostly LinkedIn. The other two I'll respond, but it'll be more delayed.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Esports Careers Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe to our show on your favorite podcasting app and get a new episode from us every other Tuesday. If you enjoyed this episode, then do us a favor by rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts. It helps us grow the show so we can make future episodes that much better. Have a question for me or Robin? Reach out to us on Twitter at dweebgg or at @_silky. We'll have those linked in the podcast description, along with other links from this episode. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.